If it feels like no one understands your problems or cares to listen, if it feels like there is no one else in this world who has gone through what you have, if you feel like you're so close to giving up but still holding on, Cafe with Monica was made for you. I'll show you how to deal with the everyday and not so everyday situations that surface in the lives of millennials. By sharing my experiences and knowledge, I hope to inform, inspire, and provide solutions to problems that may seem out of reach. So grab your coffee or drink of choice and let's just talk about it. Welcome to Cafe with Monica. This is episode 5. I am Monica, your host, a millennial helping millennials to hashtag just talk about it over coffee. In this episode, we will talk about therapy, what it is, and what benefits you can get from it. So grab your coffee or drink of choice and let's just talk about it. I'm so excited about this episode. I just had to write all these notes down because I just love talking about therapy. For some of you who don't know me and are just listening into this episode, my name is Monica and I am a certified rehabilitation counselor. I'm also a licensed professional counseling intern, and that's just pretty much a fancy word saying that I'm a counselor in practice. And I will be fully licensed hopefully at the end of this year, so I'm really excited because I'll be able to do therapy without being under my supervisor's license, so I'm just so excited about that. But anyway, so one of the reasons why I wanted to talk about therapy and kind of like what it is and how you can benefit from it and things like that is because there are a lot of misconceptions out there, and I think that I really want to kind of shed some light to some of these misconceptions. I am going to make this a 2-part episode. Woohoo! Only because in this episode, I really want to talk about benefits of therapy and what therapy is. But I also want for you to learn how to find a therapist and how to pay for therapy, things like that, because I think that is very important, especially if after hearing this, you're like, oh my gosh, I want to do therapy. Then I want to make sure that you know that you can afford it and how you can find one that fits your needs. Okay, guys, so what is therapy? And I'm going to refer to therapy as counseling therapy. They are used interchangeably, so it's pretty much the same thing. You can find a counselor, you can find a therapist. They provide the exact same thing. Anyway, so what is therapy? I'm going to kind of give you my definition of therapy. Therapy for me is helping an individual by guiding them through whatever issue that they're going through so that they could live a better quality of life. And for me, I'd like to give an individual tools to put in their toolbox. What is a toolbox? This is a hypothetical toolbox that you put all the most important things in your life that help you manage your life. So these can be boundaries, healthy relationships. This could be support people. This could be coping skills. So you got a lot of things in your toolbox. And so a therapist will be able to help you put more things in your toolbox. And your toolbox, you can use it at any time of your life that you need to open that toolbox, use that tool to move on and work on a problem that you're currently experiencing. So that is pretty much what I think therapy is and the way I approach therapy with my clients. I like to give you tools in your toolbox. I'm not going to give you all the answers, but I'm going to help you find the answers within yourself because nobody knows you better than you. And it takes time to open up to a person so that you can really see the benefit of how this individual can help you. So that's a little bit more about what therapy is. But so why should people even do therapy? Well, there's a lot of reasons why you can do therapy. And a lot of people feel that therapy might not be for them. And so because they just talk themselves out of it. So how do you know that therapy is the right choice for you? Well, what if you've been stuck with the same problem over and over and you just feel like there's no resolution, or you're constantly setting goals but you're not accomplishing them, or you're having symptoms such as depression, anxiety, all of those things, and you just can't manage them, and you need to talk to somebody to figure out what is it that is causing you this stress and how you can move on so that you can have a better quality of life. So that could be a strong indication of why you need to go into therapy. If you're having trouble finding those tools, if you're having trouble creating those tools for yourself, then maybe you need some guidance, and maybe you need somebody to walk you through some of the things that you might not realize are happening, or self-sabotaging behaviors. Whatever it is, a therapist will be able to help you. But there are so many misconceptions out there of what therapy is. And so I want to address that, and then I'm going to go into the benefits of therapy. So one of the misconceptions that I hear the most, and why people talk themselves out of going to therapy, is my problem is not big enough. Oh my God. We live in a world where, you know, social media, Facebook, all kinds of, you know, Twitter and all that. And sometimes people post their problems. And so you see that somebody's having this problem, or you see on the news, you know, all these bad things happening in this world. And you think to yourself, wow, well, my problem's not big enough. And so it's not big enough. It's not a big deal. I'm not going to work on that because it's not a big deal. Other people are suffering more than me. And it's just, no, I don't have a problem. That is a big misconception. Your problem may not be big to your friend, to your mother, to your spouse, but to you it is. And so that means that it is big enough. Because if it's causing you stress, if it's not letting you move forward, it is big enough. Okay, so that's why I wanted to say that one misconception. Another one is, so many people have watched Dr. Phil and they're like, oh my God, my therapist is literally going to call me out all the time like Dr. Phil does. And no, that is totally for entertainment value. And even though I'm guilty of watching Dr. Phil and it's very entertaining, it does not really show what therapy is. Okay, so that is a strong misconception that therapy is like what you see on Dr. Phil. Totally not. Another thing, only crazy people seek help. No. So not only crazy people seek help, and I would never even use the word crazy, because no, if you're going through something that you're not able to walk yourself through, you need to do something about it, and that might be going to therapy. So no, not only crazy people seek help. Another misconception that I hear often is therapy means you're crazy. No, not at all, not at all. Therapy does not mean you're crazy. Therapy does not mean you're weak. On the contrary, therapy says, I am brave enough to say that I have a problem and that I'm wanting to fix it. Another misconception is therapy is endless. No, you can have, just like you have fitness goals, just like you have other goals, you and your therapist are going to make some goals, target some specific issues that you're going through that you want to try to alleviate, whether that be symptoms of distress, depression, anxiety. You are going to get goals. And so it's not endless. Some people who have mental health diagnosis might seek therapy as a continuing tool in their toolbox. But for some people, it could be a short-term tool. So no, therapy is not endless. Like I said, you are going to have goals and a treatment plan with your therapist. And the intent is to help you reach your goals so that you can move on with your life and continue living a good quality life. Another thing is therapists will blame you and shame you. No, we are not in this profession to blame you or shame you at all. And if you did go to a therapist who made you feel that way, I am so sorry, but that is not a good representation of all the good people and all the good therapists out there who are there to support you, to guide you through whatever it is that you need to do. So no, we will not blame you, and no, we will not shame you, because I'm not perfect. No one is. Your therapist is not perfect. Your therapist, behind your therapist and their profession, is a human being, okay? We are not without fault, but we have to, as a therapist, engage in ethical decision-making. And so it would be so unethical to blame you or shame you as a client. Another thing is that medication is just as effective as therapy. This is like a very, like, I can go on and on about this topic because, I'm not against medication, but I also feel like it just depends on what you need. Okay. So some people need a combination of medication and therapy. Some people just need therapy, but whatever the case may be, I don't think one is more effective than the other. I think that one can be more effective to a particular person, and therapy can be effective for another person. So I really don't think that it's just as effective or more than, but, therapy is passive. Like, so that's another, misconception, that therapy is passive, and it is so not passive at all. In therapy, you try to reach a treatment plan. If you're going through a therapist right now and you have a no goal, if you and your therapist don't continue to, if you're continue, like you're, you don't feel like you're growing, I talked in my previous episode, change it up, change your therapist. You don't got to stick with that therapist. You can change it up, especially if you feel like it's just very passive and you're just not really reaching any goals. Therapy is all happy thoughts. That's another one I've heard. No. Therapy can be about, you know, talking about happy, positive thoughts. But sometimes we do dig deep into our client stories and we dig deep into the issues because we want to make sure that we use this time to effectively move you through whatever it is that you're going through. And that might not mean happy-go-lucky thoughts. It's uncomfortable. If your therapist does not make you feel, like, I guess not uncomfortable, but if your therapist does not push you to that limit where you're able to see the progress, then I don't think that you're with the right therapist or that you're going to get anything out of therapy. Another misconception why people don't go to therapy is because there's nothing you can do about the past. I've heard that. There's nothing I can do, Monica, about my past. Of course, you can't go back in time, of course, but there is definitely things that you can do so that your past cannot continuously affect your future and continuously make the same mistakes that you've done in your past. So yes, you cannot change your past, but you can change how you see your past, and that is so empowering. And sometimes you may need somebody to show you that. Okay, to lead you and guide you with their words and self-reflect about what you're saying about your past and how you walk your life with your past and your baggage or whatever it is. But you definitely can do something about your past. And so another one that I think a lot of people shed away therapy because they say that therapy will cost a fortune. And that therapy is very costly, right? Cost a fortune, very costly. But the thing is, there are so many ways that you can pay for therapy. And I'm going to go through some of those things because I think it's very important that you know that you can have access to mental health services at a low cost or at a cost that is affordable to you. And I just want to also say this, if you're listening in, when you think about price, What's the cost of not doing therapy? Think about it that way. What's the cost of not doing therapy? Is it your job performance? Is it your marriage? Because if the reason, if you did not have this, what if you did not engage in therapy, what is it that's going to continue being messy in your life? What is it that's going to be continuing being stress related to you, anxiety provoking to you? Because so many times we think that I'm not going to pay for that. I'm not going to pay for somebody to talk to me. I'll just go with my friends. And I just go. And honestly, guys, you know, our friends are amazing people that we, you know, are supportive of us. But sometimes they don't need to hear all our crap. It's just like really real. They don't need to hear all the baggage, all the crap. You really sometimes need to talk to a mental health professional. Because they're more equipped and trained to be able to walk you again through things that are going that are currently experiencing in your life. And you also have to ask, how can counseling add value to your life? If you've never been to counseling and you're already saying all these things, that you actually said all these misconceptions that I just kind of stated, and you've never even been to counseling, you need to try it once before you start saying things. You know, you have to try something out before you start pushing it away, okay? Just because your Aunt Susie had a terrible time at therapy doesn't mean you will. Maybe Aunt Susie didn't want to do the work for therapy. Maybe she had this idea that the therapist was going to solve all her problems, which is another misconception. My therapist is going to solve all my problems. Nope. We are going to give you tools in your toolbox so that you can fix them yourself. You can reconstruct whatever problem, issue, life you want. Okay? So, yeah, guys, I feel like you need to ask yourself, what is the price you're willing to pay for therapy? Because you're more likely to find somebody who can cover that price. And so how can you find somebody who can cover a price for your therapy? Well, several different ways, guys. If you already have insurance, through your employer, through your spouse, through veteran services, whatever it is, if you already have insurance, you first need to figure out what kind of mental health coverage you have. Specifically, look for information about outpatient psychotherapy or outpatient counseling. And here are some questions to keep in mind, especially if you're thinking of using your insurance through to get therapy. Does my plan cover therapy? And for how many sessions will I be covered? What is my copay for each session? Does my plan cover certain providers? Does my plan cover certain kinds of therapy? Does my plan cover certain... Oh, I already said that. Oops. Does my coverage change if I go outside the network? And what sort of paperwork will my therapist and I be required to submit? So those are some questions that you kind of need to answer if you're wanting to use your insurance for therapy. And so... So like if you have like my kind of therapy, my kind of insurance, my insurance, I need to be with a specific in-network provider. But sometimes because it's in-network, I'm limited to the amount of therapists that I could potentially use. And for me, it's very important that I go to a therapist that is the right fit for me. So that means that I may even look at out-of-network therapists, because sometimes if you have out-of-network benefits, you can submit paperwork to get money back from your therapy session. Anything that you pay to your therapist could give you a document that you submit to your insurance, and your insurance may be able to give you some money back because of the session. So just think of that, you know, in network, out network, do you have a deductible, you know, what's your copay, things like that, more likely you're able to get more low cost therapy if you already have insurance. I have a friend who she sees her therapist for $20, guys, $20, and so that is super affordable. But what if you do not have insurance? Whew. And that was me when I was in grad school. I didn't have insurance. It wasn't until 2017 that I started having insurance. So yeah, I mean, for me, it was all new. I'm going to tell you what I did before that I didn't have insurance. So you can actually do self-pay. And what that means is just you pay your counselor out of pocket. And I'm going to be real honest with you. This is the scale where I've seen the cost of therapy. I've seen it from lowest to $30 a session, from the highest to $300 a session. Now, I don't know about you, but $300 a session is a lot of money. But $30 is pretty feasible. I think for me, even more than $150 would be too much. $150 is kind of like my, okay, I can afford that. But yeah, so most therapists will charge anything between $30 to $300 per session. Especially, but if you're looking at with insurance, you're looking at, yeah, $20 to $100. And almost all hospitals, clinics, and community agencies charge according to a sliding scale. You're like, Monica, what the hell is a sliding scale? A sliding scale is something some therapists offer low-cost counseling on a sliding scale, and then this is dependent on your income. And a lot of people think, a lot of middle-class people think that sliding scales are only for the benefits of people who are very low income, but no, most of it is for working class and middle class clients. You may also qualify for reduced fees. So don't be afraid to ask that question to your therapist when you're calling and you're asking about fees and charges. Don't be afraid to ask. And I talk about your financial situation, which I know could be a very vulnerable topic to talk about, but you're talking to a therapist who's going to be understanding, and so just let them know, hey, you know, this is my financial situation, I'd like to hear about possibly seeing if I can get into your sliding scale fee. Sometimes therapists will have sliding scales, sometimes they won't. Again, you need to keep this in mind. This is their living. This is their employment. This is how they put food on the table. And so sometimes they do charge a lot because they have the experience, they've had the success rate, whatever it is, they can justify why they're charging whatever they're charging. But you can always ask about sliding scale. And for me, I think that you need to think of therapy as a personal investment, because if you see it as a personal investment, you're likely to have more motivation. Okay, like we invest so much on other things, on clothes, on cameras, computers, all kinds of things that are really expensive. But why not invest in something that is going to potentially give you a better quality of life? Like, I think that's just so important. Having a better quality of life and seeking therapy for the things that you feel are just out of your control, and you just need to talk to somebody about some of these things. And if you can't afford, you know, going to your counselor every week, that's okay. You need to talk to them about it, because they're going, especially depending on whatever issue you're trying to work on, they will kind of assess how often you need to be seen. And it's okay to say, hey, that's just not something that I could do right now, but I can do twice a month. I could do once a month, whatever it is. And they can say, hey, they can talk to you about, okay, well, you know, the treatment plan that I've kind of assessed with you requires for you, if you want to see the best results, and they kind of tell you why they said for you to do weekly or biweekly or monthly counseling. So don't let that stop you. Another way that you can pay for therapy is through your employer. Your employer may have in place what is called an employment assistant program. And it's also, it also might be feasible for your spouse or your family members to take advantage of the employment assistant program. So sometimes if your work is going through a big change, different policies, all kinds of stuff, they do, or if there's been a tragic event in the workplace or whatever it is, they may have counselors that you can go and talk to, and they might have anything between 3 to 5 sessions, and they're all free because this is just another benefit that your employer offers you in your employee packet. So definitely ask your employer, or you don't even have to tell your boss. You can ask HR. HR would be the perfect people to ask about this, about the employment assistance program. Now, I think I told you I wanted to let you know how I could afford counseling while I was in school. Because in grad school, they were big proponents on therapists need therapy, and you need to work on yourself and self-care and reflection and all kinds of stuff. And so when I was in school, I actually had access to my counseling through my tuition. So I actually paid for counseling through my tuition, and I think I had up to 8 sessions per academic year, which is all that I needed at the time. And so, yeah, I totally took advantage of that. So if you are a university student, if you're an undergrad, graduate student, and you really need to talk to somebody, like, you really want to check out your school program. Also, you can also see if your school has a master's counseling program or PhD program in counseling. They might have interns who are trying to get hours, and so they might have a low cost fee. And yes, they are not as experienced, but they're working on getting more experience. And so that kind of, it's just kind of like going to a hairstylist, right? Like, you know, you got all these different levels. My girls, you know, when you have these different levels of different hairstylists, the more experience, the higher it costs. But you just kind of sometimes have to take that leap of faith, because sometimes you can find the greatest person on the low cost end. So yeah, you can definitely try to find somebody in your school, whether that be your school counseling center or the master's counseling program, their students and their interns. And also, kind of going back with self-pay, you can also look if your counselor is supervising, if the therapist that you're looking at is supervising anybody else, if they have interns working for them, because maybe their interns may be more affordable for you. Their fee at least might be more affordable. And it's okay to start with an intern. I'm an intern right now, you know, and I feel like I get so excited when I get new clients, and I'm able to help them work through their problems. It helps me become a better therapist. So don't rule out interns. Another thing is possibly healthcare saving program. Like, I know in my job, I get like a savings program that I could put a month, whatever amount I want to put on there, and I can use that later on when I have to go to the doctor, or you can even use it for therapy. It's kind of like a savings account for healthcare purposes. So start doing that, because if you have all these savings for trips and stuff, that you should probably do a savings for health, for healthcare. And this could be anything, for your dentist, for anything, and you can use it for whatever you want. If you didn't get sick all year, hey, invest this in therapy, okay? So you can use that as well. Now, what if you just absolutely cannot afford therapy? Well, one of the reasons why I created this podcast is because I wanted this to be a tool for your toolbox. Now, this is not a substitute for counseling in any way, and I mention this a lot in my website, Instagram, Twitter. This is not a substitute for counseling. It's more of a support and resource that you could use to kind of help your situation, help you solve those problems on your own without having to seek a therapist, or even just to convince you that therapy is for you. But there are additional resources that some of you might already be using, like reading self-help books. I recently stumbled upon the Anxiety Toolkit. It's a book that talks about all these different anxiety relief techniques, and it's been really great for me because I got so many different ideas that I can implement in my life to help me with my anxiety. Another thing is attending support groups. So there's so many support groups out there for different types of issues, whether you're someone in the LGBTQ community, if you are wanting to support with alcohol, a substance misuse, whether you're a new mom. There's so many support groups out there, and all it takes is just doing a little bit of Google search. You can also use the 211texas.org. It's actually a resource for anything, for help, for affordable health care, dental clinics, mental health services, all kinds of stuff. If you're from Texas, just go to 211texas.org or dial 211 on your phone. Another thing is asking about discount rates, which I've already told you, to ask that for your account from the therapist that you're trying to seek therapy from. You can reevaluate your expenses. Where are you spending your money? Maybe you need to reevaluate to see where you can fit and what you can afford. Check out podcasts. That's another one I wrote down here. So if you're somebody who's still kind of on the fence about therapy, continue listening to Cafe with Monica. I have so many exciting topics, and they're just in the spectrum. Like, there are just so many different topics that millennials go through, and I'm just so excited for you to listen to all the many stories and all the different things that people have done to better their lives. You can look at YouTube videos. I totally recommend Katie Morton. She is awesome. Big YouTuber. Talks a lot about different types of mental health diagnosis, tips and tricks. Definitely, I would recommend her. Visit websites in the particular issue that you're going through. There are a lot of organizations like NAMI. There is the American Association for Anxiety. There's the American Depression Association. There is the National Suicide Prevention Hotline. There are so many different other resources out there that you can definitely tap into. Another big resource that you might not know, but consult with your congregation. If you're somebody who is going, if you are a member of a church, you might receive free therapy. They might have faith-based counselors in your church. You might find a guidance through your pastor, your reverend, whoever it is that you want to talk to. That could just be another way. Your Bible study group. There are different types of groups out there within your church that could possibly be helpful for, like I said, just creating a better quality of life. I just wanted to finish this off by giving you some of the benefits of therapy, and I hope I kind of spread it all over this episode. It was really just a spontaneous episode that I really wanted to put out there for you guys, but what are some of the benefits of therapy? The benefits of therapy is being able to set goals and reaching those goals, creating healthy relationships. You can also, it's like having somebody help you figure out if you have healthy relationships, what other tools you can put in your toolbox. Therapy can also help with physical symptoms. Physical symptoms get treated. I kid you not, physical treatments, you will see some relief from your symptoms, especially going through therapy, especially if you're going through depression, anxiety. Those, you will see immediate results. I guarantee you. Another benefit of therapy is you're going to be able to talk about those repressed emotions And be able to figure out how you can work on those emotions so that you can continue working on giving a better life for yourself. Another thing that another benefit for therapy is it prevents your issues from festering into a larger problem. Yeah, you don't want to continue having the same problem over and over without ever working on this problem. You want to fix it, and therapy can help. I mention this a lot, and I'm like a broken record at this point. It restores your quality of life. It can help you learn more about yourself, and it can help people learn how to be themselves again. Like, have you ever felt just so disconnected with yourself that you just don't know who you are, what to do, or where life is taking you? Therapy can help. It can help you figure out, if you have a problem, it can help you figure out how to find solutions to those problems. And so, guys, if this doesn't convince you, I don't know what will, but I just really wanted to touch on some points about what therapy is, some of the misconceptions, how you can pay for therapy, and what are the benefits. And so on the next episode, which will be part two of this episode, I will be talking about how to look for a therapist and different types of therapy that I would recommend for different types of mental health diagnosis or specific issues that you're going through. So stay tuned for part two. Thank you guys so much for listening. Thanks for listening to Cafe with Monica. This was made for you. So be sure to visit cafewithmonica.com to access the show notes, where I write tips and additional resources for this episode in a location convenient for you. And if you love this episode and found value and can't wait to hear more, go ahead and subscribe, rate, and review it on iTunes. It would mean the world to me. I can't wait for you to listen to the next episode. So see you guys next time.